Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio with Miss Tara, Janelle, Beth, and myself, Sandy, and we've been discussing Luke 12, 1 through 12. You know, God values each of us so much, and He's warning us not to wear masks. So we are going to focus now on our role and what we should do.
Yeah. You know, last time I talked about, I ended with a story, and I wanted to share. That's Roland Taylor was the pastor that was sent to his death because he was fighting the establishment. So I just wanted to open with that since I couldn't remember his name as I was telling his story. It was pretty sad. Okay, so we've been doing this whole time, Luke 12, 1 through 12, and the challenge that Jesus gives to the disciples to not wear religious masks and how we can, in so many ways, allow ourselves to be bullied in doing what the establishment expects instead of doing what the will of God says. And so that's the challenge we get from this passage. So let's go into the story, and then we'll see what we need to do. So the crowd was totally gathering around, and there were so many people that they were in the thousands, and the people were literally toe-to-toe. But even with the crowd totally surrounding them, Jesus focused solely on the disciples. And he looked at them, and he said, guard yourselves against the Pharisees, the yeast of the Pharisees. It can contaminate you. He said, you can't keep your true self hidden forever. You know, eventually you're going to be exposed. The religious masks eventually are going to slip off your face and it's going to be known. You know, you can't whisper in the privacy of your home one thing and then go out into the streets and preach another from the rooftops. Eventually, what's whispered in private is going to be shouted out for everybody. Don't be afraid of the religious bullies. Don't allow them to cause you to change because of their insincere threats. I understand that you're afraid that they could kill you, but they can't do anything to your soul or to the core of your being. What you need to do is you need to fear God. You need to fear the one that can take both your body and your soul. Isn't the price of two sparrows just a few cents? And yet God never overlooks a single sparrow. And yet the details of your own body he knows so well that he knows the number of hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by the religious leaders and their bully talk, because you're worth so much more than just a few sparrows. I want you to know that if you stand up before men for me, I'm going to stand before God and the angels for you. If you pretend that you do not know me, do you think I'm going to stand up before God and the angels and defend you? I understand that out of ignorance, some of you might reject me. That can be overlooked. It can be ignored. But to reject the Holy Spirit, that cannot be overlooked. You need to know that when they take you into the courts and they drag you before the police and the judges, that you do not need to be afraid of what you will speak or what you will say, because at that time you will have the words you need to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say in that moment. May God honor the telling of his word. It's such a, every time I'm just, God blesses me with this passage. I think it's, I just have much to learn in this. So the questions we asked last time is what we needed to know. And we needed to know that we have assurance in Christ and that he loves us, that God loves us, and that we can't hide from God. So now we're going to ask the question, what must we do? And ultimately it comes down to, who's our allegiance? Where's our allegiance? Are we going to be for God or are we going to be for man? And Jesus gives actually specific things he says to them that they should do. And so we can take those same specific things and we can do them. And the first would be is that we're to fear God. Proverbs 1:7. Janelle, would you look that up for us? I'm going to have you read it. What translation do you have?
NIV.
Okay, I'll have her read it in the NIV and then I'll say it in the message.
Is it 1:7?
Uh-huh, Proverbs 1:7.
It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
The message says, start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning.
That's good.
Yeah, it's fun. I love how he writes. Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've talked in the second session about the importance of how we can rob ourselves if we allow ourselves to be focused on our fear, and that fear is controlling and it's destroying. Fear, if it's not properly placed, it destroys us. Whereas if it is placed in God, that's a safe place to fear. And for years, I know a lot of people were like, but the word fear, that's not a good word, because fear means phobia, that you're afraid. And what we have to understand is that when Scripture uses the word fear in reference to God, it means reverence, it means mm-hmm. awe, it means a recognition of His holiness and His otherness, His sovereignty, and it's out of respect, okay? And so it's not that you're afraid that He's going to strike you, it's that He's so amazing that you can't help but be in awe of Him. And so that's what it's focused in on. Beth, did you have something? No. The next thing Jesus points out is He says, if you stand up for me, I'm going to stand for you. So fear God, stand for Jesus.
Amen.
Right? Stand for Jesus. And so any circumstance where we feel challenged and we think, what would Jesus do? So Sandy, on one of the shows, I don't know, was it in between shows or on the show where we were talking about gossip, and you said your friend said that she likes to visualize the person in the room, and that way it keeps her from saying things she shouldn't say.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's standing up for Jesus. That's literally taking the time to stand up. It can be done in so many ways. I know for myself, there's many times that with family in particular where I wanted to be silent with family that may have not known the Lord, but I chose to have courage and speak. And eventually I watched many of those family members come to know the Lord. And you know, one circumstance I can remember with one family member, the person saying, can you talk at anything about anything without it being about God? And my answer was no.
Thank you.
But eventually she came around and eventually was like, you know, I want to be like that. Mm-hmm. But that was years later. It wasn't immediate. The next thing Jesus points out, and that's actually above the actual standing up, is He's telling them to take off the mask, to not allow the religious bullies to be afraid of their talk. So we got to take the masks off. And how is that done? Like, you know, it's one thing for me to say, take the mask off. And I was talking with a student, and she said to me, yeah, like, how do you do that? Really?
Yeah, well.
How do you do that? Because without realizing it, the masks are so mm-hmm. much a part of us.
Yep. And I think Beth said that, too, and maybe the first one, that we all have masks, and sometimes we don't know we have them.
Right.
Yep. But right. God will reveal them to us if we ask.
Right. And or sometimes we like the mask.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to face the real me or the real whatever's caused me to make me to wear the mask. And so I talked to her about soul talk, and this was so transformational in my life when I started doing this. I started talking to my soul. I started telling my soul. And the way I figured this out is, as I was reading in my young 20s, when I would read the Psalms, I noticed in the Psalms that the psalmists all talk to their soul. Oh, my soul that is within me, I will praise the Lord. You will give Him glory. And it literally, they will tell their soul in the Psalms what they're supposed to do. And I thought, well, if David and Asaph can do it, I can do it. And so I started talking to my soul. I've been talking to my soul for over 20-something years now. It was something that happened when I was in my 20s. And I can tell when my soul talk is God talk and when my soul talk is not. Because we all have soul talk. So some of our soul talk is, oh my goodness, why did you say that? You're such an idiot. You do not look good today. Oh my goodness, look at your face. Oh, I'm so fat. We have soul talk. Should we be talking to ourselves that way? Because if we really understand the value of what we talked about last time, if we understand the value of how God values us, why would we tell God's creation those things? And so if we think of God's in the house, I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. He's in the house. He's in me. I am told that the Holy Spirit is sealed inside me. And so my soul talk is to him. Mm-hmm. And if I am honoring him, I'm going to talk honorably to my soul. Why am I dropping names today? And I'm drinking the water. It's so bad. Okay, I can't tell you who the person is, but I can almost see the face. Hold on. It was Dennis Jernigan. Okay, thank you, God. Dennis Jernigan spoke at our church this past weekend, and he said, I will not say of myself something that God would not say. Some point, and that soul talk is what he's talking about. At some point in his life, was convicted that he could not call himself an idiot. He was convicted he could not say, you are so dumb. And he said, God would not say that of me, and so why would I say that of me? And so we have to retrain our soul talk. And as we retrain our soul talk, I think we'll find the masks coming off, because the masks are part of the soul talk coming out. And so we hide because of the lies that we're speaking to ourselves, which is very convicting. This one makes me want to cry. You are the only person that can take your mask off. I have people come into my office all day long. I get to talk to leaders. I get to talk to people struggling. I get to talk in the best and in the worst. And I love it when I'm with the ones that are willing to pray. But there are moments where I have people and they won't pray. And my answer to them is, you know, I can pray for you, but until you make the prayer your own, it's not yours, because you have to own it. I can't trust Greg to take my mask off. I can't trust my mom. I can't trust Sandy or Janelle or Beth or Tanya or anybody. I am the only one that can take my mask off. And I think sometimes we think it's going to be taken off by somebody else. Oh, if I just have this relationship with so-and-so, or if I just have this position, then I don't have to wear that mask. Or if I'm just married, then I don't have to have that mask. That is not the case. The mask needs to come off, period. And you are the only one that can take it off. And that's why Jesus is zoning in on the disciples. Because if they can't be authentic, then the church that he knows he's about to send them out to build cannot be authentic. He's trying to get them to break down every bit of bondage that they've had so that none of that is taken into the new church. How much more so for us? You know, and as we're fighting the things that we fight here today in our world society.
I think something that a church struggles with a lot, these Christian communities struggle with a lot, is being genuine where you are right now. It's almost easy and accepted and a good thing to be like, you know, I struggled with this when I was younger, but I've overcome it. Like, it's a pride thing again to be like, I've overcome and I've worked through this problem. It's not our mask is that we've worked through those issues. It's still a mask. Being honest with where you were at, especially if it was before you were saved, it's not that difficult in Christian circles. Mm-hmm. What's really hard is to be like, right now, I'm lost. I'm distant. I'm struggling. I'm frustrated. And I don't know how to move forward. Mm-hmm. Like, actually being honest and genuine with where you currently are, even if it's not at a place where you've fixed things yet. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest part, at least for me, and having those masks stuck to you that say, well, I don't have to be perfect, but I have to at least be able to figure out how to get there.
That's so good. That's so good. You know, I think that's critical. And I know as a teacher and as a person that meets with people one-on-one, I've had so many circumstances when they've come in, I'm like, oh, my goodness, what do I do? I don't know. And I just tell them, and I pray it. I'm like, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. This is like, I'm shut up. And so being real with that, I think, is huge. It is hard. I think I have a harder time doing that in the classroom, mm-hmm. where you're expected to be the teacher and the authority. Mm-hmm. I think in the one-on-ones, that's easy. Yeah. It's in the group setting that I find it harder to do that. And I'm learning. I'm growing. But that's a good challenge for all of us. Mm-hmm. It's good. Okay. The next one he says, okay, if you stand up for me, you take off, well, it's fear God, stand for me, take off your mask, is that speak up for Jesus. Standing for Jesus is one thing, but you got to speak. Romans 7:7 says, I would not have known I had sinned if I had not heard the word. And so it's one thing to stand up for Jesus. It's another thing if we're not giving the word. We have to give the word. We have to give the word. We have to speak. And that's the only way we can counter it. And so when he's telling them, you know, if you're standing, you're speaking for me. If you pretend you don't know me, he's not going to. And so if you accidentally mess up right here, and what if you badmouth the Son of Man or a misunderstanding or an ignorance out of ignorance, that can be overlooked. I want us to think on Peter and how Peter denied Christ 3 times, mm-hmm. and yet Peter is mm-hmm. the one that Jesus has used to build the church. That should give us hope that he understands we're going to mess up. We're yeah. not perfect. We cannot be perfection. Only he is perfect. He can overlook our imperfections. He's just looking for our will to be in the will of God. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that's important. And with that, we have to trust that Jesus is going to speak up for us. That is something we have to do. So as we stand, we speak, we take off our masks, we need to know that he's our defender. And if we're speaking for him, he says, I'll speak before God and the angels. Oh, if he's talking to God and the angels, I can trust that he's going to deal with the man side of things, you know, and not have to be caught into the, he's not going to do that. And then the last is that when we are called to give an account, we have to trust that it's the Holy Spirit's going to speak. And that's an account on Jesus, an account on defending the faith. But I have personally assimilated that into every area of my life, not within the context of how it's written in the scripture, but anytime I have to speak, I just beg him, Holy Spirit, I need you to speak because I don't have it, but I trust you that you can do it. And take my mess ups and undo those and take those that are good and use those and have him make those happen so that his glory is revealed. Well, there's a lot here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yes.
With our women, we actually nailed our masks to the cross, and the cross is sitting outside my office. It just makes me smile every day as I look at it. And so I pray that somehow, for those of you that are listening, that this will encourage you to be more authentic and real. God bless.